It's just so good to be with you. And we want to focus on the Lord today and what was important to the early church. And thank you for letting us come and share with you. For those who don't know us, we're John and Evelyn Siebert with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. Some know us better by our TV program called Tribal Trails. And Evelyn and I have been supervising field missionaries from coast to coast to coast. So we've been gone over 3 weeks on this trip. We expect to be home tonight, God willing. And we were on this trip visiting missionaries in BC and Alberta. So we were visiting several of our couples on Vancouver Island, even on the west side of Vancouver Island. And one of our Tribal Trails hosts, Rita Anderson, she's in her 80s and still hosting, still very alive in the Lord. And about a day ago, we were visiting one of our missionaries in Calgary. And now we get the privilege to be with you folks, and we're just grateful for that. You can just relax, because you know what? I'm not showing pictures this morning. There was a young guy in March. We were at this home near Winnipeg, a homeschool family. They have lots of kids. And he said, why don't you show your pictures on our smart TV? And I said, I don't know how. Oh, he said, that's easy. He ran out to his car and brought a little gizmo, just a tiny gizmo. It's smaller than the cell phone. And he said, you just plug it in here and there it'll be. And sure enough, it was. So after that, I stopped carrying around my laptop and thumb drive and just used the cell phone and that gizmo. But somehow we couldn't get it to come through your system this morning. So that's okay. We'll just focus just on the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Acts. And we'd like to look at three chapters this morning. Acts 3, 4, and 5. Can't remember if I prayed already, did we? Then let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We just never cease to marvel how you speak to us through passages we've read since childhood, and we're just so spoken to by you, by your Spirit, as if we just heard it for the first time. And Lord, we just ask you to make your word alive to us today and speak to each one here as we have need of, and myself included. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this portion of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. For the theme for today, I'd like you to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. I'll just wait till you find it. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. This is the prayer of the disciples. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak. That with all boldness they may speak thy word. It's not just, Lord, grant us to speak, but to speak with boldness your word. When we're being persecuted, when we're being threatened, the title for this morning is, what was important to the early church? So let's just back up a bit. Let's just start over here and have this as the beginning of time, that wall, creation, and then God sent all the prophets to the Old Testament, and they were speaking about Jesus and predicting about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. They're prophesying and prophesying and prophesying and prophesying. And they were rejected. In one passage, Stephen said, and which of the prophets have you not persecuted? That's quite something. Which one? You tell me, which one did you not persecute? And God would just send another one and another one and another one. So that's in the Old Testament. And then we come up to the New Testament, and the four Gospels are the fulfillment of a whole lot of this. Some is still yet to be fulfilled future to us. But in the Gospels, we have four eyewitness accounts of Jesus fulfilling these prophecies. And then in Acts 1, we have the Great Commission. And in Acts 2, the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. And then we jump in at Acts 3, which is where we are today. And I'd like to look at three things. I didn't bring a whiteboard. If we had our other vehicle, I would have. But the mission gave us a truck this time, and it's hard to keep things clean in the back in winter. So I didn't bring a whiteboard this time. But you can just imagine here. Our first point, and I only have three. The first one is prayer. Prayer was important to the early church. And number two, the name of Jesus was important to the early church. And number three, boldly speaking the word was important to the early church. Those three things. So let's look at the first one in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, and you can look at it in your Bibles with me. We have time to look into the word of God. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That would be equivalent to 3 p.m. in the Western clock, Western world. Not too many people today would want to go and pray in mid-afternoon, but to them that was important. And I have to think prayer is important, especially in two ways, in corporate prayer, like praying together as a group, and in private prayer, praying alone. Here it was corporate prayer. They're going to the temple. There's lots of other people there, and they're praying with others. And I was thinking, when I was a kid on the farm, Dad would stop the tractor every Wednesday for prayer meeting and prayer. It didn't matter if we were cultivating or harrowing or disking or burning roots or picking rocks or working the garden or whatever. We stopped and drove 15 miles, not kilometers, miles to church. It was that important. So Dad taught us the importance of corporate prayer. Was it like that way in the Old Testament? Yeah. If we go back to the book of Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "Tell me the meaning of my dream." And he called all the wise men together, including Daniel. And nobody knew what he had dreamt, never mind the meaning of it. And so Daniel said in chapter 2, and I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven. Right away, called a prayer meeting. Didn't ask man for ideas. They went to God for his help. And did God answer? A couple of verses later, it says, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee." The answer to corporate prayer. Isn't that precious? So there's that example in the Old Testament with Daniel. But Daniel didn't only pray corporately, he also prayed privately. Because when they were told they could only worship the king and not pray to any other deity, he did as his custom was. He went to the window. The Bible says the window was open. I don't know if he did that like for air conditioning. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say why he always went to the open window, but that was where his custom was to pray. And he did that knowing of the death threat. And he prayed as was his custom and gets thrown into the lion's den for it. He didn't alter his private prayer life for what Satan had planned. He was true to the King of Heaven. I like that about him. Sometimes we have corporate and private prayer now. One day, one of the men of the assemblies phoned me up this past year, maybe it was this year, and he said, "John, would you like to join in prayer meeting in 15 minutes on a Zoom call?" Not a Zoom call, a phone call where many people can phone in at the same time. I don't know what you call those. Anyways, I said, "Sure." And in 15 minutes, there were brethren from different places in Canada praying together. Corporate prayer. Sometimes it's private prayer. Oh, one more corporate prayer. In Evelyn's home church, they decided one day to pray that people would come to know Jesus. Unsaved neighbors. They look around. Who doesn't know the Lord? Oh, there's this family. So they prayed for that family to come to know Jesus. That was a little south of here, near Bluffton area. I don't know if you ever heard of Bluffton, north of Rimby. And they prayed for this couple. And one day this couple, they were going to go to the dance. And they thought, maybe we should go to that church down there. So they decided to go to the church. And you know, God gave this man a dream. And in the dream, Jesus was there with blood on his hands. And Jesus said, "I didn't just die for those believers. This blood was also shed for you." And he became a believer. I don't even know his first name. But they were really old when I first met them, in their 80s or 90s. He became a believer and was very active in their congregation. Their son became a believer and was the adult Sunday school teacher. I met him once or twice. The grandchild became a missionary. The great-grandchild is now a missionary in Greece. Because of corporate prayer, the church decided to pray specifically for unbelieving people near them, and God honored it. God also honors, you might call it, mundane private prayer. So on this trip, we got away late. We were going, this is about a 3-week trip. And when it was time to rest, we were entering Hinton, and I thought, "Lord, where should we stay?" And I just turned to the Lord, and we don't want an exorbitant place. "Lord, can you provide?" And I went to the first motel I saw, and I couldn't believe the unbelievably cheap price for a very good room. God answers what we might consider mundane, and he answered for us that day. Peter and John, they went to pray. Prayer was important to them. The first thing, prayer was important in the early church. Number two, the name of Jesus was important to the early church. So as they're going to the temple to pray, there's a guy lame from his mother's birth. He's now over 40. Everybody knows him because he's always been there as a kid in diapers and teens and young adult, and now he's middle age. And he's asking for alms. And Peter comes to him, Peter and John, they said, we don't have money, but this is what we can do. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Some people have made us a song out of that. It's in verse 6 and verse 8. 6 and 8. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'm walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. No wonder he was praising God. Finally he could walk. Finally he could jump. It says leaping. And everybody sees us, and he comes into the temple, and people think, oh, Peter and John had some great power. And the disciples say, no, it's the name of Jesus Christ that accomplished this. And he goes back to the Old Testament and teaches the word of God. So look at verse 16. It says, and his name, through faith in his name. And from that word name there, that word name, I've drawn a line all the way across the page to where he just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. From that word, I drew another line to the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And then I drew a third line in red all the way down to Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter and John say, it's not us, it's the name of Jesus. Number two, the name of Jesus was really important to the early church. They made much of the name of Jesus. And how did they do it? By going back to the prophets, all the prophets. Turn with me to chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets. Can you look up here? Let's just say this is the word all his prophets. I went like this in my Bible. All his prophets. So I circled all and then I underlined his prophets. Did any of them not preach or prophesy, right? No, all the prophets, all of them. And he's saying they predicted, what did they predict? That Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. All what they predicted comes true, 100%. Therefore, verse 19, repent and be converted. Why? And if I had a whiteboard here, I would put the word blotted out. So your sins may be blotted out. That's a nice B word. Blotted out, and the times of refreshing may come, it says. Wow, he came to give these good things. Blotted out sins, times of refreshing, the presence of the Lord, it says there. Not only that, in verse 21, whom the heaven must receive, and the heavens did receive Jesus when he ascended back up, until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of, here it is again, all his holy prophets, twice in that same chapter. And then he gives an example. For Moses truly said, a prophet shall arise. The Lord your God shall raise up of you from your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say to you. And it will come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. There's only salvation in the name of Jesus. And if we don't bow the knee to the name of Jesus, we'll be destroyed. Remind me so much of the book of Peter. The stone that God picked, the builders disallowed. It was a rock of stumbling and offense, and ultimately their destruction. But to us, he's the savor of life, life-giving. He's precious. I really appreciated your song this morning. Was it called? The second last song that you did with the guitar. Yeah, that one. I would like a copy of that. I've never heard that before. I was almost crying there in the foyer listening to that. Wow, that was such a wondrous story. And I think it talked something about hearts as hard as stone in there. Isn't that the picture of us? Without Christ, we're bent on sin. It's Christ that gives us the desire for righteousness, to live a holy life, to live in relationship with God. Wow. Verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel. There it is again. All the prophets. That's the third time. In just a few verses. All the prophets from Samuel And those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these things. In the middle one of these, all the holy prophets, it says, all the holy prophets since the world began. Like, in other words, right from the wall. Right from there, all these prophets. Three times he says that. He's going to the word to make his point. Well, what happens when they're preaching the word? Let's jump way ahead to chapter 4, verse 17. But that has spread no more among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, we have to speak what we've seen and heard. We have to. 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. And what's the response of the disciples? So they're forbidden. The mandate is don't speak at all and not in the name of Jesus. And what do? They go to prayer. The first one. And that is in verse 29, our theme verse. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, grant us boldness to speak. And they prayed again in verse 31. They prayed. And what does it say in the end of 31? They spake the word of God with boldness. They're not shy. Peter, who once cowered and denied the Lord, he's speaking boldly. And verse 33, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. There was no timidity. They spoke freely and boldly, and the persecution increased. Let's jump to the last chapter. So that was 3 and 4. Now we're in chapter 5. We'll jump to verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him. And it says, they were filled with indignation. Verse 18, they laid their hands on them and threw him in jail. I personally don't know anyone by name who has gone to jail for the gospel, except what happened in Alberta in the last 2 years. I did go and speak to Pastor James Coates. Our church prayed for him, and I went to go see him, and he thanked for praying. But in my own home church, I don't know anyone who's gone to jail for preaching in the name of Jesus. I don't know of anyone in Evelyn's home church that went to jail for preaching in the name of Jesus. I don't know if anyone from this church has gone to jail for preaching in the name of Jesus. But these guys were thrown in jail. They don't know how long they'll be there. But God did not forget them. God sent his angel. And in verse 19, so chapter 5, 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go speak in the temple. So the next verse says, early in the morning, they were preaching in the temple. They didn't shut up. They proclaimed. I like that so much. Prayer, the name of Jesus, and going and teaching and preaching. That's what they were doing, even though they'd just been in jail. Those jails weren't nice. I've been in jail many times in chaplain, in ministry, not incarcerated, but in ministry. And the jails are all nice here that I have seen. And I've been in many jails. They're all nice. Not like the dungeons here with rats and dampness and poor food and chains. So what happened? They were sent for. So the officers went to the prison. It says, verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut. It was locked. It says, with all safety, like everything was latched, and the keeper standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found nobody inside. And it's like, well, how do you explain this? The keepers thought they were in there. They were the ones that had thrown them in, shut the door, and then locked it. Now they're not in there. And while they're discussing this with the leaders, somebody is, they're preaching in the temple. Like, what? We thought they were in jail. No, they're preaching in the temple. Okay, arrest them and bring them here. So they did. And verse 28, did we not straitly command you, saying, not to teach in this name, and you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings? What was their repertoire? What was their resume? What is their reputation? They are doing what God said they should do. They're doing what the angel said. They were to go and teach in the temple. They're doing it. It reminds me one time, our first field director, when we were brand new missionaries, he told me one time, when I came to visit you in your trailer on the reserve, before I came to your house, I went around the reserve and I asked, what does John Siebert do here? He's checking on me. We're checking on these guys. They're teaching and preaching Jesus. And now when they're called up again and said, did we not tell you not to do it? What do Peter and John do? They then teach those guys, the guys who just arrested them. Look at it. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. And I noticed that on your bulletin. Unto you is born this day a savior. I love that. I love that. A savior for what? To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So before we had blotted out and times of refreshing and the presence of the Lord, and now we have repentance and forgiveness of sins. It's just a litany of good things God has on his tray for those who come to him. Those who don't, they die. We just talked about that. But these, God has a litany of good things for them. Last page, last part of chapter 5, and then we'll close. So go to the last three verses. Verse 40, and to him they agreed that when they had called him, called the apostles and beaten them. Lift your hand if you've been beaten for Jesus. Anybody? You have been beaten for Jesus. Wow. What's that? Wow. Wow. You're the first person I've met that has been beaten for Jesus. Yeah. I've never been beaten for Jesus. And I'm sure when they were beaten, it really, really hurt. When they had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Again, threatened, reprimanded, mandated. And in verse 41, they suffered shame. They were threatened, further threatened, beaten, suffered shame, imprisoned. And what is the result? What is their response after all that? The last verse, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That last verse is so loaded. They taught in the temple. That's corporate teaching, preaching. Every time you do to more than one, that's corporate. Could be Sunday school, could be a group of boys at Bible camp, could be a Bible club, vacation Bible school, whatever, a missions trip, corporate. But also it says, and in every house, that's privately, going and teaching and preaching. This good news that sins can be blotted out, there can be forgiveness, times of refreshing, repentance, blessing. That was another B I forgot to talk about. That B, we should go back to that. We need this blessing. It's in chapter 3, verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, there's the name of Jesus again, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquity. God wants to blot out sins and bless people with his rich blessings. And they went from house to house telling that. In March, I'll be going to northern villages in Saskatchewan, and we'll be going from house to house to house strategically, with the word of God, to open it and to teach the word of God, that much blessings are available, forgiveness, if they repent and believe. So they ceased not to teach and to preach Christ. So in spite of threatenings, prison, beatings, and shame, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ. So my question to you is this: how important is prayer to you? How important is corporate prayer, like praying with others? I was going to show pictures today, but we couldn't get it to work. But one of our native missionaries, he's native himself. We visited him a couple of days, and he said, you want to come with me to prayer meeting in the morning? And I said, sure. And he brought me to a prayer meeting. This was in BC. Another brother, who also is of native background, he said, you want to go with me to prayer meeting? This was in New Brunswick, on both coasts, going for corporate prayer. How important is corporate prayer to you? Secondly, how important is private prayer to you? I pray so many times a day to our Lord who hears and answers prayer. When something comes up, just pray and God can provide. On the trip just before this, we went to our missionary in northern Quebec, and it was filled with lots of challenges. It was October 10. We drove to Leduc, roughly 5 hours from our place, four and a half. We got in about midnight to the motel. We were going to get up at 3:30 to catch the shuttle and the plane and so on. So it would be a very short night. And we weren't even in our room yet. And my cell phone jingles and it says, your direct flight from Edmonton to Montreal has been canceled. My heart kind of dropped. Like, now what are we to do? We're here already. And then there was another alternate. We could fly the other way to Vancouver an hour later, which we did, and there was many, many delays, and eventually we were in the plane already, and then there was one more delay. They said, there's a pigeon in the motor. We cannot go till that is gone. So we waited. The pilot said, in my 40 years of flying, this has never happened. And this was a big jet. It was like 10 seats across. He said, this has never happened in 40 years of my being a pilot. We had hoped to be in Montreal before lunch so we could spend the afternoon buying supplies for our single lady missionary. We ended up getting there after supper, needing a taxi. And it seemed like we had been ripped off in that first taxi that took us to a very nearby store. And so I sat by our loot while Evelyn went in to get kitchen taps for her. That's what she had asked for, kitchen taps. And she came out and said they don't have the right ones. And so I'm thinking it's too late to go to another store. By the time we hail a taxi and get there, and it doesn't make sense. Why don't you just get food? Because we hadn't had supper. And so she got food for us and for Ruth. And I'm out there and I'm praying, Lord, could you provide a ride for us? Lord, could you just provide a ride? And it's private prayer. And I was thinking, I would like to pay them less than a taxi, but I'd like to pay them. And I'm just waiting. All of a sudden, an SUV comes, pulls up, and just parks there and doesn't go away and doesn't go away. And he doesn't get out. And I don't know why that is. So I walked over to him and I said, would you take us to our motel? And I would pay you. And he said, yes. So we pulled over to our stuff. He threw it all in the back. And as we're driving, I found out that his son in the front is 17. I said, did you know the Bible talks about a 17-year-old? It's in Genesis chapter 37. And I'm trying to relate the Bible to this teenager in the front row. And I could see on the dash that the driver was from a certain church. And I said to him, do you read the Bible? No, he says, I'm such and such. I don't read the Bible. That was interesting. And he drove us right to our motel, got out and unloaded it. And I'm just going to pay him. And he said, no, give that to the mission work up north. And so that's what I used it for. I bought a cordless tool set for that missionary. So when she needs repairs done, I have tools that I can do it with. And it can just belong up there. When I went to the post office, they wouldn't send it because they said we cannot send lithium-ion batteries in the mail. So I still need to pray to God to find out how to get that up there. But God can do miracles. So we will wait and see what God does. Prayer. How important is the name of Jesus to you and sharing him with people around you, even strangers? How important is it to teach and preach publicly and privately? These things were important to the early church in chapter 3, 4, and 5. May it be important to you too. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've shown us what happened through all the holy prophets, the fulfillment in the Gospels, and then what happened in the book of Acts, right after Pentecost, right in chapter 3, 4, and 5. They were concerned about praying, concerned about proclaiming the name of Jesus, concerned about preaching and teaching publicly and privately. May we be known for that. Thank you for this Christmas season. Put on our hearts who we should talk to about the Savior, whose birth we celebrate this season. In Jesus' name, amen.